They think they're going into the big flat country. They don't quite understand the map, but there's a big flat country over there someplace, and it's a tough one. The little white little man lives there, and he's going to eat you up. And they're kind of afraid of it. And so them old fellas had come to him, and the young fellas, of course, wouldn't do it. But those old fellas, the old friends of mine, they'd come to me and they'd say, sure, you're going through big flat country? Oh, yes, I'm going through big flat country. Here, you take this. And they'd give me something that they had worn or carried in their pocket. They'd give me a purse. They'd give me a belt. They'd give me anything that they had worn. And you see, little man, you tell him I said it, see? And you see, little man, he know. He knows me. He know you good man. I give it to you, see? And one fella give me a pair of gloves further out as I was going all the way till I got clear, as far as I knew, Indians, clear to Tanana Crossing. They would give me things. And one fella had a pair of mittens. Oh, there was a pair of mittens that cost you $10. It was all solid beads. Beautiful pair of mittens, but he'd worn them quite a bit, probably a year or two. And he tied them on the handlebars of my sled. He said, you leave it here. You don't take it off. Now, he said, you see, little man, he see this. He know I sent it. He don't bother you. He said, look out, he eats you. You don't got this stuff. He said, you keep it. And so I kept it, and I brought that stuff all the way out. Well, of course, I didn't come through the big flat country at all. I come way west of that, 1,000 miles west, I guess. But we can look that up on the map. But anyhow, it's the snow wasn't good yet. It was, when I started, I'd run into quite a bit of gravel, and I had 9 dogs, and I had 1 3-quarter wolf. My leader was dog, husky, and the rest were half wolves. Well, we got into overflow and a few things. Now, I come through the Alaska Range at Mantasta Pass. That put me into between the Coast Range and the Rockies. And that's where I wanted to come, was between the Coast Range and the Rockies. So I come through Chicken and 40 Mile. Well, when I left 40 Mile, starting down the 40 Mile River, there was just lots of wolves and lots of caribou. And I had one pup that I just started to break. And, he was pretty near a year old. I'd worked him a little the winter before. But he was the hardest working pup I ever hooked up. I just couldn't do anything with him. He just worked himself to death. Well, you work a dog too much when he's a pup, and it'll slow him up when he's older. I always think that. And so I would work this pup for 2 or 3 hours, and then I'd turn him loose and let him run, drive my 8 dogs, hook him up again maybe in the afternoon and drive him a couple hours and unhook him again and let him rest. Well, I was coming down the 40 mile. Now, mind you, these pups had been raised with a wolf, and there's no question in my mind but what the wolf taught them their language. Because a dog, you know, is afraid of a wolf. When a wolf starts to howling around your camp, why, a dog, he'll kind of curl up and be awful quiet. You just know that he's afraid. The wolf is the dog's natural enemy. We all know that. But, and the dogs are afraid of them, but these wolves are different. Any time that a wolf would howl, any of these wolves that I had raised would want to go to them. Now, that is strictly out because they'll kill them. That's all there is to it. A wolf pack is simply a mother and father and the young, and they will not allow anything in the pack. That's all. They'll kill them. Well, this was a pack of their own, but they didn't seem to savvy that this wild pack would kill them. So coming down the 40 mile, about 300 yards ahead of me, this pup was running ahead, maybe 50 yards, and about a dozen wolves come out. No, there wasn't, about 6 or 8 wolves come out on the river, and one of them let a little groan out of them. Well, that pup, he just hailed out right towards him, just as hard as he could run. Well, I knew what was going to happen. They'd kill him the minute they got into him. Now, I spoke to my leader and killed the rest. All of them was ready to go with the leader, but I spoke to him, and he headed out towards him. I kept kidded him a little bit, and he hit a run. But he was unwilling. Two dogs behind him was both half-wolves, and their neck rope was pushing on his tail all the time. He just didn't want to go. He wasn't free. That's all there was to it. But by the time the pup got to the wolves, I wasn't over 200 yards from him and going like the devil. Well, I had my rifle out, and the wolves had my pup. I thought maybe I could save him, but I got within about 50 yards, maybe closer, of them wolves. I hollered haul to that leader, and Lord, did he haul. He just whipped that sled around like you jerked it around, you know, and I tipped it over. Well, I lost my balance, but soon got onto my feet again, and I got three of the wolves before they got away. But they got my pup. They tore him all to pieces. Well, I went on to Dawson, of course, and hit the Yukon then and traveled up the Yukon. There's a sled trail up the Yukon. It's a old winter trail when they couldn't go on the Yukon between Dawson and Whitehorse. You cross the Yukon once in a while, but there used to be roadhouses along. Well, when I got to the Pelly River, I run into a fellow there, married to an Indian woman, about the only one that I ever got into where the Indian woman was 99%. His house was just as clean as any house you ever walked into. She was an excellent cook. She was, he was from Kentucky. And I had this, only had eight dogs. And he had a nice looking dog there. And I thought, well, he offered him to me cheap. He said, I'll let you have him. He said, so I bought him. Well, it turned next morning, it was cold, really cold. Oh, you better lay over. Them fellas always won't come to you. And, of course, Marcus and Telegraph ahead of me, everybody knew who I was. He knew me anyhow, but just from hearsay. And so he just insisted I stayed the next day, and I did, and the next day, and the next day. And it was 4 days I was there before he took enough. It is warm enough, so it is really fit. It's again the law to take your dogs out before 40 below in Canada. So I just didn't do it. Well, it warmed up, but until it was about 35, and I put this dog into my team and left. Well, I had him up near the lead because he was quite free. And he was a Pelly River Husky, kind of a yellow little fella. And my dogs all wanted to get to him, you know. Well, I knew they'd kill him. Finally, I put him back on the wheel, and I would scold my wheeler beside him to make him behave, but he'd want to get to him, and I'd crack him once in a while of the whip, and it was quite a job. Well, I got out of there that night, and I stopped in an old roadhouse. Oh, I imagine I made 40 miles, fairly good trail. And I stopped in an old roadhouse, been abandoned, of course. There's a big drum stove in there, and of course it was still cold, 30 and 35, I don't know what it was, I didn't have a thermometer with me. But wood was kind of scarce, but I got quite a bit in, and I figured plenty to last me, and built up a fire in the old stove, put out my dogs, and got something to eat, and went to bed, and about midnight that night, I woke up and I was awfully sick. I got up and I vomited a little and I tried to go back to bed and I was sick. And by morning, I was just awful sick. I just figured, by golly, I was going to die. That's all there was to it. And it come daylight and I was getting pretty short of wood. And so I just decided I'd go on. There was no use of me dying there alone. I didn't want to. And I didn't know how far it was to another place, don't know yet, but I don't imagine over 10 miles. But I'd go out and I'd hook up a couple of dogs and I'd be cold and sick. That the cold just struck in on me in that condition. And I was still I'd just get dizzy. I just couldn't stand it. And I'd go back and curl up with the stove a little while and I'd go out and hook up another two or three dogs. And the dogs seemed to understand. I'd hook them up and they'd just sit there. They wouldn't act anxious or anything. And finally, I got my dogs hooked up. They never bothered this other one, never troubled him. And there was just a acted like they knew there was something wrong and they wasn't getting any devilment. That's all there was to it. Well, anyhow, I finally got my dogs all hooked up and untied my rope and spoke to them, and they just walked off. That's all there was to it. Never run tall. Never give me a jerk. Good thing, might as well. I stood on the runners and leaned over on the sled. Well, I know at times I just about went out because I was in a terrible shape, and I just didn't know. If I'd have fell off of that sled, I don't imagine I'd ever got back on again. I don't know. But it is pretty close anyhow. Well, I was going along, and I raised up my head and looked, and if I remember, around 10 miles. Right down below the trail was a cabin, and I could see smoke coming out of the cabin door, cabin stovepipe. And I just didn't say a word to my dogs. They just turned off on that trail and went down to the cabin. Pulled up, and I was still plenty sick. And I went to the door, and nobody there, and opened the door, and nobody home. Well, I went and unhooked my dogs. I just unsnapped them and tied them up. That's all there was to it. And went in, laid down, went to bed. Well, I don't know what time I got there, but it is fairly early in the morning. But this is a trapper, and he's out on his trap line. And it is long towards evening before he got back. And I was still plenty sick. I'm telling you, and I hadn't had anything to eat. And just lay there asleep or out for all that time, I imagine 5 or 6 hours. But when he got in, he come into the house, and of course he'd heard about me, knew who I was, and Margaret and telegraph again. I told him what was up, and he got some milk and poured down me and made me feel a little better. Long 8, 9 o'clock, I got so I could set up and take a little nourishment. Next morning, I was feeling plenty tough yet, and he insisted that I stayed. And so I did. I laid over that day, and I had dog feed with me. But that was one of the worst days I think I ever put in all my life. Well, when I got to White Horse, of course, everybody knew me there. I laid over there a couple of days and stocked up a little bit. And went on to from there on, they used toboggans and their dogs single. And here I had double dogs, and now a toboggan's about 16 inches wide. But here I had double dogs and a 22-inch sled. Well, all I could do is make a toboggan out of my sled. So I got hardwood and had a fella plane it down for me, and we lashed it and bolted it onto my runners. The outside was flush, and there's about 10 inches wide, both of them. That gave me about a 20-inch bearing. And then I made braces, or we did, from the bed of the sled down to our toboggan affair. It was quite a mess, but it run pretty good. Well, I fought trail from there on for a long ways, and finally lengthened out my dogs and had them all working single. They got on that narrow trail, they'd get to pushing each other, and push each other off in the snow, and they was wearing themselves out, pushing each other off in the snow, and still